Cap J Hood.
Follow him on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on, Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000 in the beautiful First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio on a gorgeous Friday. Hope you're ready for a great finish to your week and a great weekend ahead. 312-332-3776. We're going to get into Derek White not being with his team last night here in just a moment, because I think that's going to... These phone lines may burn your fingers, Shay. Your fingers are going to burn. Danny's had those days when he was back in here with the common folk. Andrew and Joliet. Hey, Andrew, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
We're good, thank you.
So the first thing I just want to say is something's got to change. I mean, when you look at the fact that Jordan Addison's reportedly making $3.5 million transferring to USC, and you look at a first-round draft pick in George Pickens, who's making $1.2 million for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, that's not sustainable, first of all. Second of all, what bothers me about the whole Texas A&M situation is that Jimbo Fisher's claim that they're coming to a school because it's a great program. How many five-star rated athletes have they had in the last 4 years? Two? How many have they had this year? Seven. So say it's because of the money, and don't say it's because your program's great. You went 4-4 in the SEC. That's it.
All right, appreciate the call.
Let's address this. We appreciate the telephone call. I want to make sure it's very clear this morning that my Georgia Bulldogs or Abdallah's Alabama Crimson Tide or Texas A&M or programs in the Pac-12 or programs in the Northeast or in the Big Ten, nobody's clean. Nobody's 100% clean. Let's just start there with the basis of saying, and this is, am I casting aspersions on every program in college football? You're damn right I am, because we know there's a reason why that there are coaches, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators that are getting seven figures. There's a reason why that these coaches are making so much money. It's more than just television deals or just, you know, just endowments or alums. It's more than that. There's a reason why that teams can afford to have these 4- and 5-star recruits. It's more than just the name. It's more than Michigan State, University of Michigan. It's more than that. It's that you have enough money to be able to dole out to players, Cap, if you want them bad enough. If you need to give them an incentive to come, they will come. That's the way it always has been. NIL deals is able to really secure that recruit. It's more than just coming to the, you know, coming to the university and saying, hey, I've got books and we've got education and you have an opportunity to play on national TV. Those were the old selling points that you used to have to recruit.
Yep.
Hey, we could be on TV. Hey, you know, you could be centrally located so your parents and your relatives could come. Those are selling points you had as a recruiter. But now the money, along with the NIL deals, if you can be able to get yourself a good NIL deal, you'll come to that university and you'll secure your spot there. So, you know, again, whatever Jimbo Fisher's doing, he's doing just like some of these other prolific programs have done over the years, and give a little extra to secure the spot for a top recruit, 4-star and 5-star recruit.
All right, let's pivot. Here's something that happened last night. Derek White of the Boston Celtics missed game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals for the birth of his child. Now, it's game 2. It is the Eastern Conference Finals. It isn't game 7 of the NBA championship. But I had this discussion with my wife. We've had this topic many, many times, my wife and I. So you do not have children, Jonathan, but if you did, and you were the starting left tackle of the Chicago Bears, and they're playing in the Super Bowl, the NFC title game. I'm not talking about week 2 of the regular season. I'm talking about it's to go to the Super Bowl or in the Super Bowl. Would you not be there for your team? Or would you, provided, of course, that the doctor says everything is fine, we've got no complications, like that's a different set of circumstances. Would you be with your team or be with your wife?
First of all, I would ask my wife, because it's about the art of communication. This is not about me in this scenario. If we're bringing someone into our lives, a third person, or if you have, you know, two kids, if you're bringing a newborn into this world, you have to ask your wife, what do you think is best? It's a communication. I just can't say flatly, hey, I'm going to be playing. Let me know when the baby comes and I'll come see it. It's a conversation that my wife and I would have to have. If she wants me to be there, I would be there. Now, if the doctors say, hey, you don't have to be there, we will push it back, and then you'll have the opportunity to see the baby once you're done playing or whatever, then I definitely would be there. But I talked to my wife about it first.
So I had this discussion with my wife. We have four sons. And I said, hon, because when we got married, this is second marriage, we talked about having kids and decided against it because we already had four between us. And I said, let me ask you a question. I've thought about going back to coaching. This is 18 years ago. If I got a coaching job and we're playing in the NCAA tournament, we're playing for the national championship, we're in the Final Four, she said, hon, are you delivering the baby? I said, no. She said, you need to coach your team or play for your team if you're a player. And one of her friends went, what? That's crazy. Your husband has to be with you. And my wife went, if we're making millions of dollars living this privileged life as a professional athlete, and it is not a regular season game in the middle of June for the White Sox or Cubs, it is the World Series and he's pitching, it is the Super Bowl, she said, unless you're telling me he's delivering the baby, she said, I will have my mom there, or I will have, you know, somebody in my life there. He has a responsibility to his team as well. And then he comes to me. She said, if he's going out to the bars after the game, that's a different story. Friends of hers thought she was nuts. She still feels that way. I asked her again. She said, hon, look, if they said there's, God forbid, it's going to be a real touch and go, I get it. But she said, the baby's born and you choose to not, like David Williams of the Houston Oilers back in the day in 93, yeah. Baby was born. The team had to deal with him. You cannot travel with the team. Baby born Saturday night, you're in Green Bay for the game on Sunday. And he decided after the baby was born, yeah, I want to stay here and be with my wife and my new child. They docked him $125,000 a game check and got blasted by women's groups and, you know, men and women who thought it was insensitive. They were wrong. And they stuck by their guns.
And what year was this?
This was 93.
Mm-hmm.
93. Derek White last night missed game two. And said, if she hasn't given birth yet by tomorrow, I'm playing in game three. So then why didn't you play in game two?
If you're ready to miss game three, you're ready to miss game two. Or you're ready to play in game two. Like, if you're going to miss it for game three, you should miss it for game two. My thing is, like, this isn't the Orlando Magic. This isn't the Detroit Pistons. You're the Boston Celtics. You have one of the richest owners in the league. You can't get a car and a charter plane right outside that arena, whatever the hell it's called now, FTX, and get a flight up if your wife goes into labor. Come on, man. Like, it's ridiculous to me. Like, yeah. I get it didn't hurt the team, so maybe it's not as compelling of a story as if the Celtics had lost. But you can't. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not game 62 of the regular season. Well, you got to be available for your team. And at the time he said he wasn't going to play, they still thought they were without Horford and Smart. Okay, so he was leaving his team even more shorthanded.
That's fine, but you're speaking with emotion as a Celtics fan, so we'll push that to the side. What I would say to you is that you are correct when it comes to the planning part of it. If you feel like you should be in game two and she hasn't given birth yet, you should have a plane standing by. But if he hears something during the game and he has to leave, at least the plane will be standing by. But just to miss game two because, you know, she's going to give birth, but she didn't give, like, that's an issue, right? I would have had a plane standing by and still played in game two. If she's going to have it during game three, then at least I know when to go. I think that's smarter, right, Cap?
Yes.
Just have something standing, have the plane standing by, but I would have played in game two. Yes.
So
you guys are unbelievable. Seriously, you guys act as if childbirth is something that you can just order off of a menu and it's going to be done in 2 hours and you can just pack up and go. There are complications that happen. There are things that happen. What if your wife became unconscious, God forbid, Cap? You have to make a medical power of attorney decision. What, are you going to take a timeout? What are you going to do?
First of all, JR, my wife is on my side on this.
Yes, I understand that, but I just can't understand how you can treat childbirth so flippantly. Like, oh yeah, I can just schedule it.
I'm not treating it flippantly at all.
So what if something happens, God forbid, during that moment, and you're 2 hours away because you want to coach in your MAC game?
I'm not talking about coaching in a MAC game. I said the Super Bowl, the Final Four, to go to the Super Bowl, the World Series, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. I didn't say a MAC game.
Yeah, your team, let's say your team, I don't know, you're going for your conference title, Cap, whatever level it is, right? It's a very important moment for you, but now something happens. Now what? Again, like,
well,
you know,
well, JR, I would talk to my wife about it. If she felt like, hey, you can go ahead and play game two, but if something happens, just have a charter standing by. I get that. Now, knowing me, I'd want to stay by her bedside, but I just know that if she's pushing me away, like, hey, don't worry about it. Go and do what you do. And if it comes by game three, listen, at least you could be able to be at my bedside. I get that.
I learned something about this room today, actually, that everybody chooses their job over marriage here.
No, JR, I asked my wife point blank yesterday.
I would ask her first.
I said, if I were in this position, what would you want me to do? And she said, honey, if you're making $18 million a year to play professional sports and you've got a playoff game and your team's down 1-0 and shorthanded and you got to win this playoff game, go play. Like, you can see the child after the birth. We'll be fine. Like, modern medicine is fine. Like, the complications now are a little bit more rare than they used to be. She's like, go play. I would 100% go do your thing, play the game. I don't think the child would miss out on it.
Cap,
so my wife agreed with me, too. Go play.
Cap, were you at the birth of your children?
I was.
Best moment of your life?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, actually, and it's working with me. That's number one, but...
All right, correct. Second best moment of your life. I mean, and you'd give that up for...
Wednesday working with Sylvie will be number two.
For a basketball game? You would give that up for a basketball game, huh? Best moment of your life?
JR, it's not a basketball game.
I don't care what game it is, Cap. It can be Game 7 of the World Series.
You're not going to change my mind. If I am pitching Game 7 of the World Series in Cleveland November the 2nd, and my team is counting on me, A... B, my wife is on board with it and suggesting it. And C, we live a privileged life and I make $25 million a year. Yeah, I would have pitched. 100%.
I would ask Michelle first. Obviously, that's a lot of conversation with the doctors as well. That's something that's important to me first.
Correct.
Do I need to be there? And if she's not going to have the baby at the moment... then I would probably go play. I'm sure by game three, if she's going to have the baby at that point in time, like, yeah, okay, I can't be there for this game. I got to be there for my family.
312, your family. 312-332-3773.
Here with my family.
That's it. 312-332.
You might be paying
3776. Do you think Derek White should have played in a playoff game? What would make you miss the birth of your child? Quarterback of the Bears in the Super Bowl, pitching the Cubs in Game 7 in Cleveland. 312-332-3776. Love to hear your thoughts. Next.
Take that.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Look what you've done to these phones. 312-332-3776. Hot topic. We knew it would be. Derek White of the Celtics said, well, I can't play in game two. My wife's going to have a baby. And so he wasn't there. She hasn't had the baby yet, at least as of when we were discussing it early in our meeting. He said, well, if she doesn't have it by game three, I'll play in game three. Well, if you're playing in game three, you should have played in game two. Led us to the topic, what if in our lives, like I was a college basketball coach.
Yep.
What if I was coaching in the Final Four and my wife was going into labor?
Mm-hmm.
So Van Jefferson, who's a receiver for the world champion, Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams,
mm-hmm.
His wife was expecting. He's on the field getting ready for the game. She goes into labor. She told the PR people, do not tell him. D is on the west side. Hey, D, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I was just touching on that subject. Yeah, like I was saying, he still played with his guys. You know, he won a Super Bowl with his guys. And after, you know, he won a Super Bowl, he tried to write out. So I believe Derek White should have did the same thing.
Yeah.
With you guys.
Appreciate the call, D. That's a great.
Love you guys, man. Listen to you every morning. Love you guys.
You're the best. Thank we you, love D. you. So Van Jefferson's wife told the PR people, hey, I'm going into labor right now. Okay, we'll go tell him. It's not like he was their star receiver. He's not Cooper Kupp or Odell Beckham Jr. Do not say a word to him. He has fought his career to get to a Super Bowl. They're trying to win a championship. We make generational wealth. No chance. Do not tell him. And as soon as the game ended, his kids ran down on the field with his mother, I believe, and they said, hey, your wife just went into labor during the game. What? Gotta go. And boom, he left and got to her. So I think that's handling it the right way. That's my wife and I are on the same page on this.
Well, Cap, that's, I mean, every family's different.
Correct.
Every family's different. Every circumstance is different, I think, depending on how a husband and wife or how a couple handles it. I just know for my situation, it would be a lot of conversation with my wife and the doctor to find out when can I be there in that spot. That's the whole thing, because if you just decide, yeah, you know what, just let me know when the baby comes out, let me know, I'm going to do my thing, that's not right either. But it all starts with communication, at least on my end.
John Noh, who listens all the time, says, fathers in the delivery room is relatively new, just the last 40 years or so. Back in the day when you and I were born, our fathers would not have been allowed to be in the delivery room. He's right. Mad Hatter said, I'm confused by this argument. If there were, God forbid, to be some sort of complications, what the bleep is the husband's presence going to do? The doctors are making all the calls. The nurses are carrying out the orders. Honestly, the husband being there is probably a detriment.
It probably is not, especially if you care. So, no, I disagree with that.
Yeah, medical power of attorney, anyone? Come on. I mean, yeah, let's be realistic here.
Yeah, let's not. I mean, unless you don't care about the person that's giving birth, I think that care also matters. Being there, being present in that scenario, I think that matters.
And how about being by your side by the most important person in your life in the most important moment of your life? How about that?
And again, it depends, as Jonathan astutely said, JR, that if the husband and the wife are on the same page, like Van Jefferson, like my wife, Mindy, it's not for everyone.
And you know what's great, Cap, is that I don't have to ask other people how I feel, and I can do what I want. I can say that this is the most important moment of my life, and I would like to be there for it. Paycheck be damned.
Okay. That is your call.
Yeah.
If I was starting Game 7 on November 2nd, 2016, I would have pitched.
Yes, of course you would have, Jose Quintana, but you're not. That's the point here, is that I want this in a realistic scenario. Where is your line, Cap? Where do you draw the line?
If David Kaplan went back to college coaching and I'm in the Final Four, which that could have happened.
Mm-hmm. Sure, with what, NIU? Sure, okay. Let's play along. That could have happened, okay.
You know what? This guy's an idiot.
No, let's keep going. Let's play along with this.
He just cast aspersions on the Husky. He doesn't think the Husky can get there.
Right.
Well, Bill Baker feels that he can get there.
Exactly.
Why can't you?
Bill Baker and Sid Simmons, our broadcasting, they would have believed we could get there. Let's go back to the phones.
Taking a shot at NIU. That ain't right.
No, absolutely. Let's go to our guy, Justin. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Cap, Hoodie, good morning. You all got JR riled up this morning. I've never heard him in that fashion.
Yeah, but his weed dealer didn't stop by last night.
All right, that's no reason for that.
Give him an edible or something. Calm his day.
He doesn't need an edible. That man has a strong opinion on this, Justin. You keep your beak out of his edibles. How about that?
All right, Hoodie, I keep my beak out. You're right. But
all right.
I will agree with him, though. I mean, that's my child. The work that I put in to us to get to that moment, I mean, we all know what the work is. So I'm definitely going to be there. And that's just something that they'll have to understand, because that's my child, A. And then, two, I don't want this to come up later on. You know, happy wife, happy life. I don't want no issues when you weren't there and this, that, and it might sound like it's good then, but it might come up later. So that's just my spiel on it. I hope you all have a good day, and hey, talk to you later.
Talk to Justin. See you, Justin.
Right on, Justin. Edibles later, my friend.
312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. Hopping. What do you think about this? Would you miss the birth of your child if you, your doctor said, looks like everything's on track, you never know, for a playoff game? It was to go to the Super Bowl. It's in the Super Bowl. It is the Final Four. What would you do? 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Take that.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
He's Hoodie, I'm Cap. It's Cap and J-Hood. Weekday morning, 7 until 10. Don't forget spring trading. The final installment next Wednesday. I'll be with Sylvie on this show, 7 until 10, Wednesday morning. 312-332-3. Hey, we're going to have fun, man. Mm-hmm. We can argue sports. We can battle. But yeah, we're not going to get personal.
Nope.
We are going to treat each other civilly.
Absolutely. That's exactly what was going to happen. That's why you two were teamed up. 7 to 10 because you guys are going to be civil. That's not what social media says, though.
Sounds like a meditation, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I care what social media says.
You do.
We're idiots go to play on Twitter.
Hold on a second. Like you care what social media... Well, then deactivate your account then, Cap.
I was going to say, as he looks down at his phone at
it's
Twitter.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just open mouth say things, Kaplan. There you go. Because you really believe that. Like social media matters. That's all that matters to you.
Oh, my God. You're out of your mind.
What if Cap had to put Twitter down in the delivery room? You think that would have happened?
No shot.
I would have live streamed everything.
Hey, man. Let me just tell you. I think the Celtics can get it done. Bruce, see this on Twitter?
I can't get my points bet app to open here in the delivery room.
Oh, yeah, what a major thing that would be. You having a child now in the era of social media. That'd be tough.
Let's pull back the curtain just all the way. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. SB Ronnie said it just took Cap 30 seconds to reply to me on Twitter 2 minutes ago.
Right. Rodney.
I don't care what's on Twitter.
Yeah. No. Hold on a second. There's a difference between caring and engaging with our audience at break.
Uh-huh.
Like Danny and I had this, I don't know, 5 years ago. He's like, do 98% of your engaging when you're at break. So that's what I do. Rodney takes the time to write to me about the LeVar Ball interview. I take the time to say, I appreciate you responding, Rodney, by giving him a response.
Can I tell you something? I don't care what you do with your social media. I don't care what you do between our show between 7 and 10. But I just won't let you say who cares about social media when you care about social media. That's where I draw the line. That's where I draw the line because I know that you care. So don't be saying
okay,
that.
So I guess I should have phrased it differently.
Uh-huh.
I use social media and enjoy engaging with our fans, promoting what we do.
Yeah.
You just don't see me getting into pissing contests with people anymore. I have for years. That's where Take That came from.
Mm-hmm.
You do not see me going back and making an idiot of myself like I did 10 years ago. Not going to happen.
That is true.
So,
see, I can be on your corner there.
There you go. I tune out the matote.
Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
You tune out the matote until the matote walks in at 7 on Wednesday.
I'm looking forward to this.
Uh-huh.
I've embraced the concept.
Oh, wow!
He's going to slap the blank out of Sylvie. That's going to be funny.
Not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
It's a double as bodyguard. I don't know who for yet. Either Sylvie or Cap, but I know I have to break up the fight. That's my task.
Not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
312-332-3776. Let's go to Frank in Oak Brook. Frank, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, I love your show. Thank
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Frank.
I had a similar story in the early 90s. My wife was in her third birth, the first one natural, second one C-section. She preferred the C-section, so she went to schedule a C-section. I noticed that it interfered with my law school class. I needed to graduate to support these kids, so I said, I got to go to this class. And she called the doctor. Her family was wonderful. They rescheduled the C-section around my law school class, saw the birth of my third daughter, and made the class, got an A. It was a 4-hour class.
And I would bet you're still married to her?
No, she was wonderful, but perhaps I wasn't so great.
Okay.
You lose that.
We did have 20 years together.
All right. So you raise some beautiful kids. So, yeah, it's all, as I think Hoodie said it earlier, it's all about communication, right?
Sure. Sure.
Oh, a lot of people booed me, though. That's why I thought it was relevant to call in. Thank you.
We appreciate you. Have a great day.
How about this, Cap? Oh, what do you think Derek White and his wife, right?
Derek White and his wife, yes.
Yeah. I wonder what that conversation was like. Maybe she needs that support. That's why White is around for a game two and game three.
Right.
Around her for a game two and three. Maybe that's the case. Maybe she's like, hey, I can't do this alone. I need you around, even if I haven't had the baby yet. That could be also.
Could be. 312-332-3776. Let's grab Jimmy stuck in traffic. Hey, Jim, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, man. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're good. Thank you.
First time Carl, I love your show every morning. So,
appreciate you.
I'm a wedding DJ, and back in on our third child's birth in 2017, you know, I had weddings booked prior to us being pregnant, and our due date was May 1st. So I had a wedding booked on April 29th and also May 5th. So leading up to our due date, both of those couples met my second DJ just in case something happened. And then on the April 29th wedding, he actually came with me and DJed with me up until about 10 o'clock. Because at that point, you know, if my wife went into labor, she was also with her father, so he would have been able to get her to the hospital. But
did we lose Jim?
Nothing's going to happen before I get there.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just drove through a bad spot on 80 with bad reception.
Yeah, you dropped out for a minute. Okay, so you had a backup at work. Is that right?
I had a backup with me at the wedding in case I got the phone call saying, I'm a labor.
All right, Jim's in a bad cell area.
Yeah.
So he had a backup plan.
Right? Yeah.
And there are certain people that, hey, man, they make their living like he gets paid by the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed the money, I would assume, to provide for his family. So he did the best he possibly could to juggle both.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And that's what we call in this country a plan.
That communicating with your spouse.
Mm-hmm. A plan.
Mm-hmm. With our family.
That's right.
All right, we'll get back into this because we got a lot of calls.
I'm here with my family.
You get out of there, Kelly. That's you get out of there.
Take that. We have shot, no shot, and we'll get back into this because it's a hot topic. 312-332-3776. Shot, no shot in 2 minutes.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
You can change one moment, Chicago sports history. We opened it up to you. We gave you two. Cody Parkey makes the double doink, or D. Rose doesn't blow out his knee. Hoodie went Cody Parkey. I went D. Rose, and we didn't go, you take one, I'll take the other. We don't do that on this show.
No,
ever.
We don't.
Ever.
Here's one thing that I can guarantee. Neither team wins a championship. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I disagree with you there.
Who are the Bulls getting past in that spot? I believe that the Bears could have been able to go further because I just thought it looked like a charmed season. And we've seen this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a charmed season for the Bears the way they were doing their business. I think they would have run into a buzzsaw in the Patriots if they got to the Super Bowl. But I would have loved to see the Bears at least one more time in the Super Bowl. But with the Bulls, Cap, it was a hard-nosed team, but LeBron was just that talented. It was a dogfight. But when if Derrick Rose is in there, he's just one player. I'm not going to do revisionist history to tell you that, oh, you know, Marco Bellinelli would have made the difference in Joakim Noah or the lack of offense. The team was averaging like 93, 95 points a game. That wasn't enough against the Heat or other upper echelon teams in that time. You recall this, right?
I do, Hoodie. I do recall it. I'm just telling you that if it didn't happen that year, it might have happened in 13, might have happened in 14. D. Rose never gets hurt. They would have added on. That was a really, really well-coached unit. Really well-coached. Let's go to the phones. How about our guy Taylor in Hyde Park first? Hey, Taylor.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Taylor?
What's up? What's up, man? What's up? What's up?
How's business?
It's good, as always, as you know, rocking and rolling, getting hot outside. People just want to have a good time, so
yeah.
It's always good. I got to agree with Hoodie on this one. This is very simple. The Bulls aren't beating LeBron James. Even when he had Matthew Dellavedova as his running mate, you know, he hit an amazing clutch shot in the corner three to kind of tie the series. So I don't think the Bulls and Derrick Rose are ever beating LeBron James in that era. He was just too good.
They would have added on, Taylor. That Bears team was unsustainable. The Bulls team was if Derrick doesn't get hurt.
1 second. So this is my argument, and this is the reason why I say it. They could have added on. Who knows? Who knows what would have happened? I mean, you know, that era, who knows? But at least in a seven-game series, the best team typically wins and the best player typically wins. LeBron James is not losing a seven-game series to Derrick Rose. Plus the try-hard group.
He lost to the Mavericks, for crying out loud.
Okay,
yeah, that was the first time for the Big Three. I remember that. Yeah, that was Dirk's solo championship with the Mavericks.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. But I'll say this: in football, though, it's any given Sunday. So at any point in time, a team can get hot. I mean, look at the Ravens and look what Joe Flacco did, right? I mean, a team can get hot. And if the Bears got hot in that time frame, they might have made a little run because it's any given Sunday, anything could happen. Where with basketball, like I said, I don't think that the Bulls and Derrick Rose are ever getting past LeBron James in that way. The way LeBron was dominating them in that series and the try-hard group, I don't think it was happening. So I think I agree with Hoodie just because of the fact you have seven games versus one game, and anything can happen, and it's a toss-up in one game.
Hey, man, have a good day.
I'd just like to think that Derrick Rose would be in the Hall of Fame. We'll be talking about him in the Hall of Fame now if he doesn't get hurt. But you're getting through four Hall of Famers in LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and Ray Allen. That's a tough ask. You could add on, but you still got to get through those four guys with the Heat at that time. That's just tough. There's layers to this all throughout the NBA. Everyone has their run. The Heat had their run. They're two championships in 4 years with that big three. It just would have been very difficult.
Let's go to Job. He's listening online on the app. Hey, Job.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up,
Job?
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on something that should have happened in Chicago sports history. I will argue this point till the day I die. The Bears should have drafted Byron Leftwich, quarterback, instead of trading down with the New York Jets. Leftwich would have been easily protected in the offensive line back then. He would have flourished in Ron Turner's dink-dunk offense, and the Bears' trajectory would have gone even better than what it did with Grossman, which obviously they went to the Super Bowl.
Would we have mimosas this morning or Bloody Marys? That guy sucked as an NFL quarterback.
Hey, I will say this. I am biased because I went to school with Byron in college. Mm-hmm. So I will admit that. However, as I said, he had a terrible offensive line down in Jacksonville. That whole dumpster fire there was just a mess.
All right, Job, we're moving on.
We got to go.
Yeah,
Byron Leftwich, he was horrible as an NFL quarterback. He only lasted 60 games, Hoodie.
I'm glad that he said that he had a bias because we could hear it in the call. I get it. That's your guy. But that would have helped the Bears. 03, 04, 05, you know, he'd never started more than 14 games. And that was in his second year he started 14. Yeah, that wouldn't have helped.
Okay. That was Byron Leftwich's agent, actually. That was his representation.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take him to college, not the pros.
All right, let's go to an area called South Shore. His name is Ziggy. Hey, Ziggy.
What's up, fellas?
What?
Speaking of speaking of bias, Hoodie, you and your Uncle Hoodie in my house for the inspiration you gave my son. Uncle Hoodie,
yes,
you
sir.
Turned your back on D. Rose, man, the Southsider.
Get him.
You let him keep his hurt knee? Come on, man, Southsider to Southsider. You got to vote for him just so he can be healthy. But in Chicago sports history, the thing I will reverse outside of Derek,
mm-hmm.
the White Sox trading Fernando Tatis for James Shields.
That'd be
Can you imagine him in that lineup?
Oh,
I'm with you there. What's more, let me ask you this. See, what's more important to you, a Super Bowl championship to see it one more time before you check out, or to see the Bulls win a championship? What's more important to you?
If you could promise, if you knew for a fact they win the Super Bowl, that would be hard to turn down.
Right.
But you're saying Derrick Rose's knee, Hoodie.
Well,
he's
I don't want
from the South Side. Even yeah. if they don't win, but he gets healthy and is a Hall of Famer. And they will win, by the way. I believe Derrick Rose is healthy.
They win.
Like Cap says, they add on.
No.
At some point they
doubt.
Amnesty Boozer. At some point they make a trade or they grab a free agent. Because if he's healthy and he's there and they're close.
Preach,
come
Ziggy.
On, man.
Preach, Ziggy.
Come on, man.
I love the revisionist history as if the freaking Bulls had the Spurs front office. It's the same calls and the same issues that we had with the front office saying, how come we can't get the big fish? How come we can't get the big guy in free agency? All of a sudden, they would have added on. All of a sudden now, the Bulls are like this great organization that would have added on to help Derrick Rose.
Thanks, Zig.
Get out of here.
Thanks, Zig. Appreciate you.
It's amazing what time brings on. All of a sudden now, the Paxson era would have been able to add A-list free agents. Also to a guy, by the way, in which the star says, I'm not going to recruit. All of a sudden now, the Bulls would have been able to get top-notch free agents to add on to beat LeBron in the Heat. Get out of here, man.
Jake, make sure you've got this topic for Wednesday. Make sure this topic is with me and Sylvie on Wednesday.
Sylvie will say the Bulls. You guys will agree and you'll hate it.
Okay, then we can move on to something else.
Yes, because he is a huge Bulls fan, that's the team that means the most to him in the city. He will agree on the Derrick thing.
That team means more to him than the Bears or the Cubs?
Yes.
Okay.
The Bulls mean more to him than the Cubs and the Bears.
All right, we'll get into this. We'll discuss it. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Dave in Romeoville. Dave?
Morning, guys.
What Dave. Up?
Hey, Hoodie, fellow Southsider, diehard Sox fan. I mean, you guys are spot on with these analogies, but there are possibilities of what could happen. The best possibility in the last 40 years of what could have happened was the 94 strike.
Ah,
that's a good one. You guys would have lost to the Expos.
We wouldn't have lost to the Expos. You keep your beak out of it. Get out of the way.
The Expos were a better team than
you. No, you don't know that. Just step out of the way and let us talk. You know, so, you know what? You're right, buddy. That 94 team was supposed to be Sox Expos, and the Sox would have won that because of the momentum they had in 1993. 93 was a good season. You got a little Bo Jackson. You got a little Ellis Burks. You got a little Tim Raines there. You got a young Frank. You know, that team was destined for greatness, a great pitching staff. That would have been fun. You're right. 94 should have been our year.
Yeah. You would have got to the title game and lost.
You don't know that, Kaplan. Don't agree with this joker.
Thanks,
you don't,
Dave.
Keep your beak out of it. You don't know that. You don't know that.
Yes,
that 93 team was special. And what were you doing in 93 with your Cub team?
I have that, you know, Biff in Back to the Future. He carries around the Sports Almanac, and he's a wealthy gambler. That's what I carry, Hoodie. I can tell you right now.
You got the Farmer's Almanac. What you know what you had in 93? You had an aging Dunston. You that's what you had. You had Mike Morgan at the top of your rotation. That's what you had.
Oh boy.
You had Candy Maldonado. That's right. You got Treblehorn at the firehouse across the street. That's what you had. You had an aging Willie Wilson. That's what you had in 93.
Steve Buschel playing third.
Wow. The Friday folder, because Hoodie loves to talk, and we love to hear him talk.
You
can't
Rick
always
Wilkins.
Get to all the stuff, because
uh-huh.
he's just chatting.
Uh-huh.
It's entertaining, but we want to get to the Friday folder.
Eric Yelding.
Next.
Derek May.